Sunday, November 10th, the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. First reading from the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 10 through 16. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. Haydock Commentary. St. John Chrysostom and others say that it appears that the widow had received no precise intimation. She was not an Israelite, but probably a pagan. Many suppose that Elijah did not know at first that she was to entertain him. But both the one and the other might be divinely instructed how to act. In due time, the widow and the prophet became acquainted with the will of God and complied with it. Regarding verse 13, "But first make me a little cake," etc., Haydock says, "He puts the faith of the widow to a severe trial, and the gospel requires nothing more perfect than what she practiced. The true faith which she then received was her first and most precious recompense, and we shall soon see that her guest drew down blessings upon her." The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Haydock Commentary. The author takes notice that Christ, by virtue of his sacrifice and his dying once on the cross, satisfied for the sins of all men that ever were from the beginning of the world. It was decreed from eternity that the Son of God should come to redeem mankind. The ransom that was not yet paid was accepted, and all might be saved who believed in their Redeemer who was to come, and who, by the graces that God offered and gave them, lived well. Christ shall never more offer himself in sacrifice in that violent, painful, and bloody manner, nor can there be any occasion for it, since by that one sacrifice upon the cross, he has furnished the full ransom, redemption, and remedy for all the sins of the world. But this hinders not that he may offer himself in the sacred mysteries in an unbloody manner, for the daily application of that one sacrifice of redemption to our souls. Regarding verse 26, "He has appeared at the end of the ages," Haydock says, "as it were in the last age of the world, to the putting away or abrogating of sin. Even though less, for example a single tear, might have satisfied the justice of God, nothing less than his own precious blood could satisfy the charity of Jesus Christ. By his death, as St. Augustine observes, Christ has bound the devil in a chain, so that he can tempt us no further than we are able to resist. He may bark, he may tempt, he may solicit us, but he can bite none, except those that willfully cast themselves within his reach." Regarding verse 28, "to take away the sins of many," etc., Haydock says, "When he came first, he took upon him the load of our sins, but at his second coming, at the end of the world, he will come in quite a different manner. Not as laden with our sins, not after the similitude of a sinful man, not to redeem us, but with great power and majesty to judge all men." The Gospel from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood. Haydock Commentary. God accepts alms if they are corresponding to each one's abilities, and the more able a man is, the more he must bestow in charity. The widow's mite was very acceptable to God and very meritorious to herself, because though small the offering considered in itself, it was great considering her extreme indigence.